You're listening to UK Health Radio, where health means more than the absence of illness. Welcome to the Getting Real with Hillary show. I'm Hillary Burns, and each week we explore honest conversations about life, health, and whole person well-being through real stories of resilience, healing, and human connection. This is the Getting Real with Hillary show on UK Health Radio. Welcome to the Getting Real with Hillary show. And today we have a very special guest. Her name is Julie Ryan. She is a businesswoman, an author, a psychic medium, an entrepreneur, an inventor, a podcaster, and a medical intuitive. So I bet you've never seen that combination before. Welcome, Julie Ryan.
Thanks. Yeah, I'm a combo platter.
Yeah, wow. Now, when did you ever have this psychic? Can I tell them what you did? When we were having our first conversation, I had been in pain. I'd been in the emergency room. I had this back pain that was scaring me to death, and they didn't know what it was. And so I'm talking to Julie, and I was like, do you have any idea what this might be? And she's like, oh, yeah, it's your ribs. Go to the chiropractor. And I was like, okay. So I did. And the chiropractor did a scan. My back was in spasms. And within a day, it was good. And it had been bothering me for like 3 weeks. So thank you for that.
You're welcome.
I don't know how she knew, but we're going to talk about that today, right? That's like, wow. Wow, wow, wow. Okay. All right. So tell us how it all began.
I learned, Hillary, how to be a medical intuitive and psychic medium. I did not have dead people chasing me as a child. If I did, I didn't know it, let alone what I would have done with that information. So I learned how to do all of this. So I say I'm a businesswoman and an inventor who learned how to do woo-woo, and I'm a buffet of psychicness. So once we connect with spirit, we can do it all. I don't understand why you got the psychics and the pet psychics and the mediums and the past life people and the whatever. It's like, it's all spirit. It's all energy. Once you connect to it, then you can do it all. And that's what I learned how to do. And that's what I teach people how to do now.
And how did you learn how to do it?
Well, I, about 30 years ago, had a girlfriend who still have a girlfriend. My girlfriend gave me a book called Anatomy of the Spirit by Carolyn Mace, who called herself a medical intuitive. And I thought, well, what the heck is that? I'd never heard that term before. And I had been involved in the hospital supply industry for quite a while at that point. I'm an inventor and former manufacturer of surgical devices sold throughout the world, many of which have been on the market for some of them close to 30 years. So I was always interested in helping people heal, but I was helping the doctors and the staff help people heal in the hospital arena. And my interest was piqued. And back then, Hillary, we didn't have the internet yet. So I went to a bookstore to see what else was available. And I found a book called Hands of Light by Barbara Brennan, PhD. Now, Dr. Brennan was a former NASA physicist who parlayed very complex quantum physics principles into understandable English for the non-scientific mind. That would be me. And wow, she was using quantum physics to help energetically heal people, or help them heal themselves, I should say. And I thought, I want to know more. So I called her school and I asked if she had anybody in my area teaching this stuff. And lo and behold, she did. And she said, yes, I have a graduate who just opened a school. And they gave me her information. I called her and then I worked with her for 6 years. Fast forward, I now teach all my techniques, which are an amalgamation of what I learned in studying with her, you know, other things throughout the 30 years I've been doing this, into a weekend course on a Saturday and Sunday. And I equate that to, we used to use carrier pigeons to deliver messages. And then we use the Wells Fargo wagon and then, you know, the U.S. Postal Service. And now we communicate instantly via our phones and our computers. Same thing, you know, all of the techniques and everything have become more streamlined as I've done this work and I've figured out ways to make it really easy. So everybody has the ability. We're born with it. It's just a matter of developing and enhancing it. And that's what I teach.
Wow. Well, when's your next course?
It is October. It's October 24th through the 26th in Atlanta. We ran out of a hotel adjacent to the Atlanta airport with a free shuttle. And we learn how to do woo-woo for the weekend. And it's so much fun, Hillary, because a whole lot of my graduates come back. They fly in from all over the world on their dime just to volunteer to be a part of it. And you learn how to do the whole buffet of psychicness. And at the same time, we have so much fun. Mm. The food's amazing. It's a Southern garden party theme. It's really wonderful. It'll be one of the best weekends of your life if you decide to come join us.
Wow. Okay. So can they find that at your website, AskJulieRyan.com?
Correct. Yes. Okay.
So if you're interested in that weekend, which that sounds so cool, AskJulieRyan.com. Not AskJulieRyanGift.com, right? That's a different one.
AskJulieRyan.com.
Okay. I'm getting them confused. Okay. AskJulieRyan.com. The gift, you'll find out. Well, should we tell them about the gift?
Sure.
Now?
Sure.
Okay. So the book that we're going to be talking about today, or at least partially, is Julie. Can you hold it up? Because I don't have a physical hot copy.
Angelic Attendance, What Really Happens As We Transition From This Life Into the Next. And it's about how we're all surrounded by angels and the spirits of deceased loved ones and pets. It comes with graphics showing the position of the angels and the loved ones' spirits. And it's about what happens when we're dying, because there's lots of information out there about the afterlife, Hillary. I find that there's lots of information about past lives and near-death experiences, not so much about what happens as we're dying. And that's what everybody's afraid of. Are we going to fly or are we going to fry when we die? And there's really not much information, although a year after I published Angelic Attendance, there was a university-based research project that was released showing 90% of people at the end of their lives see the spirits of deceased loved ones and pets as they're getting close to death. 90%. So perhaps...
I'm wondering, how did they know that?
Well, because they did university-based research on it. They talk to a lot of people at the end of their lives in hospice, primarily.
So and they were there at the otherwise they're dead. So they had to talk to them as they were dying.
They talked to them and they videotaped them. It's one of the biggest YouTube recordings, actually. It's a doctor named Chris Kerr, K-E-R-R, and he's head of Buffalo Hospice. He's an MD, PhD. And so they have amazing videos of people in the last few months of their lives talking about the spirits that were in the room with them. And so for those of us that have been with a loved one at the end of their lives and we think, oh, grandma's hallucinating and it's from the morphine that they're giving her. No, she's not. She can really see her deceased mother who died 60 years ago. Her spirits in the room.
I was with my dad, but he was on so much morphine that he didn't tell us. So I don't know. Maybe he did.
Oh, I'm sure he did. Everybody does. Yeah. Wow. And you talk to any critical care provider, CCU, ICU, emergency room, you talk to any hospice provider, death doulas. You talk to funeral home directors, for heaven's sakes. They have a boatload of stories that will center around, yeah, my dad kept seeing his deceased mom's spirit or his deceased horse's spirit, or my my sister waited until our mother got to the hospital before she died. And the stories are just amazing. And they're just across the board similar to people from all cultures and all all socioeconomic groups and all that. So funeral directors have tons of stories like that.
But the person's already dead by the time they see them, right?
No, but they're hearing it from their family members who are coming in to plan the services.
Oh, okay. Okay. Whoa. All right. So how did you get from, you took the courses, you read the book, Anatomy of the Spirit, Hands of Light. Okay. You for 6 years, you studied at that school.
Right.
And then what happened? Were you still in business during this time?
Oh, yeah. Because it was like a day a week. An evening a week is what I did in person. And so then how I got to where I'm, what I'm doing now with all my books and my 5 YouTube channels and my podcast, we release 4 shows a week and all of that is, and working with clients, I one day was with my mentor, and this was in probably about 2005 or so. And the first time I saw this phenomenon with the angels and deceased loved ones was when my own mother was dying in 2002. And then a few years later, I had seen it with many other people by that point, friends and family. And I could do an instant replay. I could tell them who was in the room, the family, all of that. So one day I'm with my mentor and she was doing a healing on me, Hillary, and when a healing's done on me, my deceased loved one's spirits line the sides of the table. And this one day, another spirit was in the room, and I can see them telepathically in my mind's eye, and this spirit of a dead pope showed up. Mm. And he had his pope hat on and his shepherd's rod and the whole nine yards. And I said, well, who are you? And he said, I'm Clement. And I said, well, I'm sorry, but I've never heard of a Pope Clement. And he laughed and he said, well, I was number 6. And I said, okay, how may I help you? Kind of like, why are you here? And he said, you're supposed to teach the world what happens when somebody dies, because it's been so bastardized over the millennia and people are afraid and there's nothing to be afraid of. It's glorious. And I said, eh. And he said, really, this is what, you know, this is your kind of your mission if you choose to accept it. And I said, well, thanks, but no thanks. I'm a businesswoman and people will think I'm nuts. And he laughed and he goes, yeah, yeah, just get on with it. So I left a little while later, Hillary, and I went to my car to drive home. And I just looked him up just for kicks on my phone. Well, come to find out, this guy was in office during the Black Plague when 2/3 of Europe died. And he's best known for his prayers for the dying and his prayers for the dead. And I thought, for heaven's sakes, Ryan, you can't make that up. And so then it took another couple of years before I had the courage, the golden ovary courage. You know, guys have brass balls, girls have golden ovaries. And I had the courage to release what I was seeing. And really the catalyst for that was, I was in church one Sunday and I was sitting between my husband and my son, and the priest from the altar said, wouldn't it be great if somebody could tell us if we're really surrounded by angels and our loved ones' spirits and they escort us to heaven? And I'm getting elbowed by my husband and my son. And so I said, God, really, from the pulpit, you're giving me grief about this? Seriously? Wow. And I sold my surgical device company in 2015, and that gave me the time to be able to crank up Ask Julie Ryan. And it's been the most fun thing I've ever done. Out of 9 companies, I've founded 9 companies in 5 industries. And people say, well, what are your goals? And I'll say, I don't know, I don't have any. And they say, well, what do you mean you don't have any? You're a business. Well, I just go where I'm led, you know, spirit. Pope Clement and God and the Holy Spirit and all of them tell me stuff to do. And then if it makes sense, I do it. It's been the most fun thing I've ever done.
And now I think we could take our commercial break. And then when we come back, we'll get the rest of the story. All right.
UK Health Radio. The station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving. It's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
Somewhere on Earth, there are 4 acres that belong to you. You don't need to be there in person, only there in purpose, protecting it, defending it, keeping it alive. Because the world doesn't need more good intentions. It needs more meaningful actions. Register your interest at 4acresearth.com.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
All right. So can you actually see the healing being done?
Oh, yeah. And I describe it to my client or the person who calls into my show. We do a live show every Thursday night at 8 Eastern, and people call in from all over the world. And we can scan them medically, talk to your dead grandma, scan your cat, you know, do a past life thing, tell how close to death somebody is.
Oh my
God. Really fun. It's a blast.
You can do it just on the phone. Like somebody calls in and you can.
Yeah. I could scan you if you were in a galaxy far, far away. Doesn't matter. I'll find you. It's all energy.
That's so amazing. But and you learned that. You weren't born with it. It wasn't a special thing. Wow.
Yeah. And everybody has the ability when they're born. Think about intuitive ability. We've all had a situation in our lives at some point where we think of somebody and we either get a phone call from them or an email or a text, or we run into them and we say, oh my gosh, you've been on my mind, or I was just thinking of you this morning and here you are. Well, that's not a coincidence. That's your intuitive ability at play. We've all experienced that, or we have a gut feeling about something and we don't follow it. And then most of the time we regret it when we don't.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. We all have the ability. Little children are very good at this until they start shutting it down when the grown-ups in their lives say, oh, honey, that's just your imagination. That's right. Not real. And they shut it down. So it's just a matter of enhancing and developing it.
Wow. And does it ever not work or not? Can you ever not see it? Like you just can always see? That's amazing. It's amazing.
Wow, but I've done it. I've done it for decades. So, you know, again, I'm really good at it because I probably scan 3,000 people a year. And so it's just like, you know, Kobe Bryant used to be able to throw a basketball and get it in the hoop most of the time, just because he'd done it so many kabillions of times.
It seems like X-ray vision. Like
it is.
Like could I practice seeing through this wall in front of me?
Yeah, yeah. It's called remote viewing. I teach that too. Oh yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. It's part of the work that we do, because my our dear friend of ours had surgery last week, and I can remote view somebody when they're in the operating room. I can read the anesthesia equipment real time. I can tell you how many surgeons are working on the patient. I can tell you there are guardian angels over the head of anesthesia. I can tell you how many spirits are in the room. I can tell you at what phase of the surgery they're in. They're getting ready to close. No, they've just started, whatever. So I was reporting to the wife of the patient.
Wow. Now, what if you could see something going wrong? Is there anything you can do?
Well, send healing.
Oh, okay.
To the person. But again, it's always that person's spirit's prerogative, what they do with that healing. And it's interesting that I've noted over the years that when somebody is having a lot of prayer said for them, mm-hmm. there are more spirits in the operating room.
Wow.
And I'll say to the family, well, is your husband on a prayer chain? And they'll say, yeah, four. I'll say, okay, I can tell, because that operating room is really crowded. And back in the day when I was actually in surgeries for work, developing products, testing prototypes, things like that, I could see that real time in my mind's eye, but I don't need to be there. I would say 99.9% of the work I do is remote.
It's mind blowing, right? I guess it's normal for you, but for me, I'm like,
yeah,
true.
Yeah.
It is. Wow.
Yeah. Woo. Well, and sometimes I speak at doctor organizations and to interns and medical students and others, and they're not jaded because they haven't been taught that it's not possible. And there's so much research coming out to validate and corroborate
really?
The information that we're conveying. And I've had many doctors over the years call me and say, okay, how are you doing this? How did this new kidney get generated energetically and it's showing up on the scans? Or how did you know that the cancer had metastasized to the lungs when it's not showing up on the PET scan yet? And I can see it months sometimes in advance. And it's just another form of healing that is, I believe, has been around since the beginning of time. And as we've gotten more well-educated and we are more proof-based and we have adopted the allopathic only form of medicine here in the West. I mean, certainly Chinese medicine and the different cultures, their medicine's been around for millennia. The indigenous cultures medicine, the druids, all those women that were burned at the stake that were witches, they were all healers. And it was the well-educated, well-to-do men that were burning them because they wanted people to adopt the allopathic part of medicine. So they made it into something bad.
What does the allopathic mean? I've heard that word.
Medicine as we know it.
Oh, okay. Okay. It sounded more homeopathic, but it's not, right?
No. Yeah, right.
Wow. Now, do other people, are they able to see inside the body like you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I have hundreds of graduates from, I believe, 15 countries so far around the world. The only prerequisite to take my class is you got to speak English. Because I don't speak any other languages. Yeah.
Have you ever heard of the Silva method?
I have not.
You have not. Okay. Mm-mm. Because it was sort of like you were doing body scans. You were going into stuff but you had to do a lot of case studies, which I never did. There was a guy, I don't know, 40, 50 years ago, and he's passed it on. Yeah, it's interesting. But it's not exactly the same, but it's, you know, you're looking into metals and you're doing scans of bodies. But I don't know how far people got. You know what I mean?
Well, most people have heard of Reiki.
Yeah.
And Reiki is Japanese energy healing. Ancient Chinese medicine is energy healing. And it's utilizing energy to help the person heal themselves. And so I just take it further because we can detect more specifically what's going on in what body parts instead of, okay, there's an energy block here. a la Eastern medicine, let's clear the block, and that's going to help the body heal. That happens in the work that I do and I teach, but we're specifically saying, okay, you got a hairline fracture in your, you know, whatever, and I'm watching it get healed. And then they go get an x-ray, and guess what? They have a hairline fracture exactly where I've told them the fracture is. And I'll say, you need to go get seen. And they do.
But when you see it, but aren't you healing it?
Energetically, but remember, yeah, the person may need complementary care from the human side as part of the healing equation. So it's all part of them healing their body. It's already healed on the energetic level. They decide how, when, all those parameters of how to integrate that energy healing. And then they may need some complementary care from the human side.
So, okay, one side is energetic and the human side is the physical?
Yeah, absolutely. Things that we can do to help our bodies heal, right?
Like what? Like if you heal the fracture, but they could still see it. They could still see it on the x-ray, right?
Yeah. So they may get a cast on their arm. So
they still need the cast.
They may have a sling, but they're most of the time, if they're having energy healing in addition to that, to our Western medicine as we know it, then they'll heal faster, more completely. And it's just a sped up version of the healing process. Sometimes they heal instantly. By the time they go get an x-ray, that fracture isn't showing anymore. But again, that's all predicated on how they want to integrate the healing.
Now, is it them themselves or their spirits?
Their spirit.
Now, do we all have a main spirit guide?
We do.
We have many,
and we usually have a main spirit guide who's not necessarily with us throughout all of our life and or lives, but is with us based on what we've got going on and what we're interested in at the moment. Furthermore, it's been my experience that we have the same guardian angel throughout all of our lifetimes and in between lifetimes. So that's the constant, is the guardian angel.
Oh, okay.
And then the spirit guides come in and out based on what we're exploring and wanting to experience at different parts of our lives.
Now, is this guardian angel only ours or does it have other people?
I just heard from spirit in my head that no, they're not only just ours, and yes, they have other people.
But if we need them, they're there.
They're with us constantly, and they can be. If you go back to the Judeo-Christian concept that we're made in the image and likeness of God, God is source, spirit, energy. Most of us have been raised to think, oh, God looks like some old man. He looks like Dumbledore, right, you know, from Harry Potter movies, or Gandalf from the Lord of the Rings movie. Old man, white hair, white beard, long white hair, that kind of thing. It's been my experience, Hillary, that God is energy. And energy, if God can be everywhere all at the same time, and we're made in the image and likeness of God, I believe it's in spirit form. So we can be multiple places at the same time. And so can our loved ones in spirit and our angels and our spirit guides and others. So when we lose a loved one, that loved one is with all of us. Let's say a grandfather dies and he has 50 grandchildren. He's with all those grandchildren and all of his children and all of his other loved ones all at the same time. Hard for us to understand from our human perspective.
Mm.
Certainly that's what I've been told bazillions of times by spirit.
Wow. All right. We have to take our commercial break, and we'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. Be right back. Hold that thought.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your worst dreams aren't your enemy?
Falling, cheating, being chased, naked, drowning, losing teeth. What if I fail? What if something goes wrong?
I'm Teresa Chung, dream expert, best-selling author, and co-host of The Healing Power of Your Dreams. And in my latest title, Extreme Dreaming, I reveal a powerful truth. There are no bad dreams.
They feel so real, but that's so you remember them.
They're messages, signals, transformative gifts guiding you toward clarity.
Click on the Extreme Dreaming discount banner link on UK Health Radio homepage and learn to decode even your darkest dreams.
Extreme Dreaming.
Are you ready to listen?
The station that makes you feel good.
All right. Wow. So, okay. So when you heard the pulpit, the guy on the pulpit saying the thing about, wouldn't it be nice if we knew what happened? What happened after that? How did you get this going?
Well, I had already seen several people at the end of their lives, again, in my mind's eye, family and friends, and I developed what I call the 12 phases of transition. Mm. And that's a sequence of events that spirits and deceased loved ones, spirits and angels and pet spirits all surround the dying person. And that configuration changes as the dying person is getting closer to their departure. And so I coined it the 12 phases of transition. It's important to remember that everybody goes through the 12 phases, regardless of if they die instantly, like in the case of a homicide or suicide, or whether they die over days, weeks, months, years. Of our prolonged illness, perhaps, because time doesn't exist in the spirit world. Time's a human creation. Mm. Again, one of those things like, well, if somebody dies instantly versus somebody that's dying over 3 years, how can the 12 phases unfold? Because time doesn't exist in the spirit world. Can all happen instantly in a nanosecond, or it can happen over different times. So what happens is the spirit exits through the top of the body and it holds on. It looks like a speech bubble that you'd see in a cartoon, what the character is thinking or saying. And then the dying person's closest maternal spirit is the first one that arrives. If I was dying, my mother would be there because my mother's deceased. If she was still alive, it would be my maternal grandmother. She was still alive, it would be her mother. It's always on the maternal side, which I find really interesting. And that surprised me, Hillary, because I thought maybe God has like a departure department in heaven. And when somebody's getting ready to die, you know, just dispatches an angel or something to come run the show. That's not been my experience. It's always the closest feminine spirit. And if somebody's...
Do you wonder, you probably don't know this, but how do they know?
Because they're spirits. They know what's going on. Yeah. 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 Absolutely. And it's interesting also that if somebody's adopted, it's the mom that raised them.
Yeah.
The birth mom's spirit is there, but it's the mom that raised them who's the one that's running the show from the spirit world. And then the paternal spirit closest to the
night. What if they didn't have a mother? Like,
well, they were born, they had a mother at some point.
But if they were, let's say, right, but the birth mother's out of the picture, they go to foster care, boom, 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 different people. Who would come then?
The one who was the most nurturing and the one they spent the most time with.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there'll be someone. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm feeling bad for these people already, right?
Right. Wow. And that could be maybe somebody in an orphanage, maybe a nun.
Yeah.
You know, who showed some compassion and kindness to an orphan, or perhaps another worker who worked in an orphanage and showed some care and compassion.
The person who was caring,
Always a female, though.
Wow.
Always
we were starting to say something about that. That you find that interesting.
I find that fascinating. And then I went back to my studies about Kabbalah, which is ancient Jewish mysticism. And in the Jewish religion, a child is not considered Jewish unless the mother who births them is Jewish.
Right.
And so there's something there that has been around for millennia with the mother's spirit. And I find that fascinating. So then the mother's spirit is the one that runs the show from the spirit world, calls in the angels, calls in the spirits of other deceased loved ones and pets. And they continue to arrive in huge numbers as the person is approaching death. And I call them the Welcome to Heaven Committee.
Can you show a page from your book? Because I don't have it physically, just so that people can visualize this. Because when I saw the chart, I was like, oh my God. And it's always the same, roughly.
Yeah, right? It's always the same. Yeah. So this is somebody really ready to go to heaven.
I'm gonna go out so they can see you bigger.
Yeah. So the angels are in a straight line. These are all spirits of deceased loved ones. The pet spirits are there. The parent spirits are at the person's feet. The spirit bubble is up the top of the head. By the way, on my website, AskJulieRyan.com, if you go to the 12 phases of transition page, there's a free download of a chart that details all the 12 phases together. And when somebody has a loved one at the end of their lives, I'll say, download that chart, save it on your phone. And then you just ask, what phase is my grandmother in? And you'll hear a number in your head. It's the first thing that comes in as fast as you can snap your fingers, and then you can refer to the chart. And it really helps people navigate the dying process with their loved ones, because certainly, especially in this day and age, we take time off work, sometimes travel vast distances to be with our loved ones at the end of their lives. And we're able to gauge, okay, grandma's, you know, she's gone through phase 6, 7, 8 here in about 3 hours. We need to bring the family in, and we need to allow those who want to say goodbye to come be present. And families find that so helpful.
What would you like to say in closing? I know they can get the free book by going to JulieRyanGift.com, right?
Correct.
Without the ask, just JulieRyanGift.com. Okay. What would you like to leave people with?
Everything's available at AskJulieRyan.com. We are on all the podcast networks. We've got 5 YouTube channels in 5 different languages. And 7 books and classes, online classes, in-person classes. And come join us for any and all. Come in, call into the show if you've got a question. And, come join the fun. It's a blast.
So if they have like a healing question, if they have someone about to pass, like which people should be calling in?
Anything spiritual. I'm a buffet of psychicness, and I have graduates that work with me that work with clients as well. And they're fabulous too. And they can access all of them on my AskJulieRyan.com website.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. This has been fascinating. Thank you for the work you're doing. Thank you for taking up the challenge from the Pope. And it's amazing. It's really amazing. Amazing life you have there. So thanks. Thanks for living it. Yeah,
I
agree. Thanks for living your life.
Thank you. Thank you for talking with me today.
It was fun. All right. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Getting Real with Hillary show on UK Health Radio. If today's conversation resonated with you, take a moment to reflect, share, or simply be with what you heard. Until next time, this is Hillary Burns, inviting you to stay curious, stay connected, and keep getting real.